at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, and, well, today we have on the line Charlotte Isabey. And Charlotte, it's fascinating background. She'd worked for the government for many years. And then, of course, during the Reagan administration, she was a senior analyst at the Department of Education. And she had an opportunity to have access to all the secret files, and she found that there was a plan, a secret plan, to dumb down the American children, alter our whole educational system, and they were working very, very closely with people who were from the Soviet Union to change education here in America. And it really doesn't make sense. And yet, of course, it was going on. So our plea to you is to certainly listen to what Charlotte has to say. But we are really indebted to Charlotte because she has, in recent years, or just within the last few months, posted on a special new website called AmericanDeception.com the complete text of the most important congressional investigations really of the last 75 years, and that is the Cox Committee. And the Reese Committee reports that were actively suppressed. I had a friend of mine, in fact, I think you know Mr. Robert Goldberg, and he told me he had a set of these, and he was offered many hundreds of dollars if he would simply sell them, because there were people going around and buying them all up. The last thing they wanted was for the American people to understand that people of great wealth were financing communism and socialism and were responsible for bringing communism to the Eastern Europe and to China. And it was all the story of the Rockefeller Foundation, the Ford Foundation, and the Carnegie Foundation, and what these great tax-exempt foundations were doing to undermine the very fabric of our society. Now, these hearings were held back in the 1952, 1953, 1954 era, but they are just as apropos today as they were when they were written. Charlotte, thank you so very much for being with us.
Well, thank you, Stan, for having me on. It's always a pleasure to be on with you because you're so knowledgeable about the subject that has always intrigued me. Never could really figure it out. I was just nowhere the stature of a person like Professor Anthony Sutton, but who also had a problem figuring it out, why we were supporting the enemy at every occasion possible, building up our enemy. You had it figured out a long time ago, and it's probably been just the... Well, I think that when I went into the U.S. Department of Education and saw the documents, because I was in a very, very important office, probably the most important office in the U.S. Department of Ed in the world, because, of course, we're meant to be the most important country in the world. And when I saw those documents in the U.S. Department of Ed, I realized that something was terribly, terribly wrong, that we were giving money, our taxpayers' money was not going just to countries that we considered our allies, but to Eastern European countries and the Soviet Union, and it just was mind-boggling. And the purpose of the grants and contracts had nothing to do with the improvement of academic education. It was simply to set up an international system of basically brainwashing.
And of course, this is what they were doing with our education. And weren't they working very closely with the Soviets in this process of influencing American education?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I saw grants and contracts. When I was in my office, the Office of Educational Research and Improvement in the United States Department of Ed, I saw all the grants and contracts going to Eastern Europe, to Hungary, to Czechoslovakia.
Hold that thought, Charlotte. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest this afternoon is Charlotte Isabey, and perhaps to give you a little of the background of what was happening back in the early 1950s, and there's a lot of talk about Joe McCarthy. Was Joe McCarthy right criticizing people because they were communist and working within our government, and did the communists have an influence on American foreign policy? And people debate that issue. But as with so many issues, we debate the wrong one. It's sort of like, should we get out of Iraq today, or should we stay in Iraq, or should we have gotten out of Vietnam, or should we have stayed in Vietnam, or were there really communists working at the highest levels of our government that brought communism to Eastern Europe and brought communism to China? And there were many people back in the 1951 area who were firmly convinced that there were communists working in our government, and they were the ones who were responsible for our disastrous foreign policy. And of course, the Reese Committee hearings, and of course subsequently work by Professor Carol Quigley, pointed out that this was all a diversion. Yes, there were communists very highly placed within our government, but they weren't responsible for the disastrous policies we were following. It was because there was another group, an X factor, and this was the Great Tax Exempt Foundations, which worked with the Council on Foreign Relations and the humanists and people of great wealth and in finance, and they had an agenda. And they were the ones who were responsible for bringing communism to Eastern Europe and communism to China. And so Congress authorized a series of hearings, the first through the Cox Committee in 1952. And, of course, Cox, as so often happens, when people began looking behind this veil of secrecy, Congressman Cox up and died. Now, maybe it was just an act of God, or maybe it wasn't. We'll never know. But then, of course, the following year, 1953, Republicans took charge of Congress, and they appointed Congressman B. Carroll Reese, a Republican from Tennessee, to head a committee to investigate the Rockefeller, the Ford, and the Carnegie Foundations. And what he found, had the American people ever known, why it would have changed the course of the world, because, of course, it's people of great wealth who fund communism, and most of these foolish communists don't even realize they're being used by the very people that they hate and despise, and they feel are exploiting the world, and they're absolutely right. They just don't understand the real agenda of what's going on. So with that as a background, how did you happen to get hold of the reports of the Cox and the Reese committees, because they've been unavailable for many years?
Well, I had given Bob Goldsboro an enormous library of very valuable information about 15 years ago that came from the father of a friend of mine who was in naval intelligence, a great American. And
hold that thought for just a moment.
Right.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I was asking Charlotte Isabey how it was that she had come into possession of these very important documents. Now, I have many of them, but I don't have a full set of them, as Charlotte does. So she was telling us that she had known Mr. Robert Goldsboro. I know Mr. Goldsboro. He's been one of the patriots back there in Washington, D.C. for years, trying to expose what's going on. And, of course, he was very, very close to a mutual friend of ours named Norman Dodd, who's gone to be with the Lord. But Charlotte had known him. I had known him. And he was the director of research for the Reese Committee, the congressional committee that had been commissioned to investigate why the Rockefeller Foundation and Ford and Carnegie Foundation were funding communism. You pick up the story there, Charlotte.
Yes. Well, this friend of mine that I was speaking about, the daughter of this marvelous individual who actually did know Norman Dodd, they were the same vintage, before he died, said that he wanted his collection of incredible information on the Masons, on Alice Bailey, on everything to do with the UN, communism, the Carnegie Corporation, all the foundations. He had an unbelievable collection. We had it in our barn. And it worried me because I was not a particularly popular individual in my town, having served on a school board. And I just felt, I felt very uncomfortable about leaving it there. So Bob came up and got the collection, and he had it for several years, and he's given it to a marvelous organization now, that collection. But he did not turn over the Reese Committee and Cox Committee things to this other organization. And I just had always had it on my mind because I knew Norman Dodd and I had been in the Department of Ed, and I knew that the cooperation had been going on ever since 1958 with Eisenhower with the U.S. Soviet Education Agreements. And I always wanted to get a hold of that, those hearings. And Bob wanted to hold on to them, I think. I don't think it was he would have liked to have held on to them. But, for his own reasons, whatever, when I called him, he said, yes, I'll sell them to you. And, I said, okay, fine. And I felt very strongly that I had to get them because my son, who's about 38 years old and of the same persuasion we are, he said, Mom, we want to get, there's no sense all of this research being out there in libraries. We have to get this on the internet. And, so that's what happened. And I got the reports from Robert Goldsboro. I felt sort of like it was a James Bond movie. And, I felt all along that, it was like a James Bond movie because I could say it now because it's on the internet and nobody can do anything with it. But, I hope. But, when we were trying to scan it in, we managed to get, 800, how many pages? I think 700 pages is the Cox report. We brought us a very expensive scanner. My son is very savvy, started scanning. It just went beautifully, beautifully. When it got all the way through 800, he said, oh, Mom, this is the greatest thing on earth. Here it is now. We've got it up on the internet. And I thought it was all great. Well, we started working on the Reese Committee one. And no matter what, you know, we get to 100 pages of scanning, it would stop. We went through 2 months of discussions with Xerox. What is going on? Top Xerox officials couldn't understand why. We thought maybe there were these forces out there, you know, that were moving in on us and shutting us down. Well, finally, we sent the scanner back to Xerox, and they sent back another one, and this time it worked. And I think it was a matter of just not really understanding that we had cut the pages at a certain point. We were too short, and the scanner was not seeing it right. And by the way, folks, you can listen to these hearings if you have Adobe Reader. You can listen to someone reading them to you.
So I know. Who does the reading on those?
I have no idea who this individual is who does the reading, but if this is all technology that I do not understand. But for those who are blind, in fact, I know two blind people who are fascinated by this, they can go in there and they can listen.
All right, I think what's so important is for people to understand that what these hearings showed was that, first of all, people of great wealth are pushing communism. And then that they wanted, of course, to prevent this information getting out, so they sent a congressman named Wayne Hayes, and his job was to disrupt the hearings. And during one 185-minute hearing, how many times did he interrupt, Charlotte?
Oh, it's unbelievable. I've got it right here. I think it was you had it the other night, and then I had
think
it.
Was somewhere
234. How many times was it outed in a... It was not, because I was reading the hearings, too, and it was unbelievable the number of times that...
It's covered the book we carry called The Foundations of Power and Influence, which we've kept in power for many years, so people would understand the most carefully hidden secret, and that is... the whole drive for communism and socialism to redistribute the wealth, it had never had anything to do with redistributing the wealth of the very wealthy, because these ideas were being pushed by the people of great wealth.
Right.
And I'm talking about people like David Rockefeller, if you read his memoirs, the richest man in America, far richer than Bill Gates or Warren Buffett. David Rockefeller, if you read his memoirs, he will tell you that both of his daughters are dedicated Marxists and supporters of Fidel Castro. Now, why would that be? Doesn't make any sense unless you understand what was found in the Reese Committee hearings.
That's right. And I just found this, Stan, in Bob Goldsboro's superb book. I wish he had a lot. It's called Lines of Credit, Ropes of Bondage, that he wrote. It's great. And he said here, on one occasion, Hayes sarcastically interrupted a friendly witness, Aaron Sargent, 246 times during 185 minutes of testimony.
246 times, that's more than once a minute. Everything to disrupt the hearings. They couldn't let that truth get out. But the other things they wanted to suppress was the fact that the Rockefellers had funded Alfred Kinsey, and his purpose was to demoralize this country, to push pedophilia and bestiality, and homosexuality is perfectly normal.
That's right, and a lot of that research is in my book as well, Stan, the Kinsey Report, and Kinsey down at the University of Indiana. The University of Indiana really produced quite a few sort of sick people. Skinner was there, Kinsey was there, Bloom, they brought some really bad eggs onto the scene in the United States. But the funding, the Rockefeller Foundation, the Carnegie Corporation, I would say, has been the most instrumental in the destruction of academic education in the United States. And you were asking me about the agreements that the Reagan administration, that Ronald Reagan signed with Gorbachev in 1985. I guess that's when I really became terribly, terribly upset. But the agreements that we signed were for cooperation in the field of science and technology, and additional agreements in other specific fields, including humanities, social sciences, the facilitation of the exchange by appropriate organizations for educational and teaching materials, including textbooks, syllabi, and curriculum, materials on methodology, samples of teaching instruments and audiovisual aids, and the exchange of primary and secondary school textbooks and other teaching materials, the conducting of joint studies on textbooks between appropriate organizations, the U.S., the Ministry of Education of the USSR. That was at the very time that the Soviets were in Afghanistan. Now, that sounds bad. You know, that was bad enough, the one that the United States signed with Gorbachev. But the Carnegie Corporation's exchange agreement, which was signed at the same time with the Soviet Academy of Sciences, we have to really look at that closely now, because that's going in all over. That resulted, this is 1985, folks, in, quote, joint research on the application of computers in early elementary education, focusing especially on the teaching of higher level skills and complex subjects to younger children, early elementary. Now, higher level skills is often a euphemism for critical thinking, and that means no absolutes, right? Just you keep evolving, your values keep evolving. That's Lenin's definition. Now, it said Carnegie's 1988 one-year $250,000 grant is funding implementation of this program, coordinated on the American side by Michael Cole, director of the Laboratory of Comparative Human Cognition at the University of California, San Diego. Now, it went on to say, I wrote all of this in a little flyer that, this is in my book, it's called Soviets in the Classroom, America's Latest Education Fad, that the conservatives refused to publish this until 4 years after the fact, when Robert Morris became the president of America's Future. And he found the manuscript in the inbox of the past president, who would not publish it. Excuse me. So anyway, the worst part, though, of the Carnegie part was this. Scholars from the American Council of Learned Societies and the Ministry of Education of the Soviet Union met in the United States in 1986 and agreed to establish a commission on education that will be responsible for joint scholarly relations in pedagogy and related fields between the U.S. and the Soviet Union. Some major joint U.S.-Soviet project themes are methods of teaching and learning school science and math using computers. And my latest article on my website, people go to my website, click on articles, and you'll see an article there called Revolution in Education Soviet Style, because they're putting the computers in now, exactly what I was writing about back in 1985. And this goes on to say, this is a press release I'm reading from, the Commission on Education would be responsible for joint scholarly relations in pedagogy, that's the method, the Skinner-Pavlov method, and related fields between the U.S. and the Soviet Union. And it says some major joint project themes are methods of teaching and learning school science and math using computers. I hear your music coming up. We can finish it after.
I think it's important that people understand why would we be working with the communists? Well, very simply, because communism really has nothing to do with atheism. Karl Marx was a Satanist, and there have been powerful satanic forces working within communism since its inception. And the reason that, of course, the great many of American financiers and bankers and government officials have helped communism is as they too have deep ties to the occult. A certain Henry Ford was a 33rd degree Mason. Andrew Carnegie was deeply involved in the occult, as have been the Rockefeller families for many generations. When you understand there is a brotherhood of darkness, things begin to make sense. Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City? Well,
been stopped. Small town of Rosetto, Pennsylvania, who drew worldwide attention for their unusual cardiovascular health, despite their pasta diets. I recently uncovered the fact that their unusual health was attributed to the precious red wine which they imported from Italy. Today we know this as the French paradox, the fact that the French exhibit greater cardiovascular health despite their fatty diet because of the red wine they drink. Wouldn't it be great to enjoy the health benefits of red wine without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives? Well, now you can with Longevinex, the world's first stabilized red wine molecules preserved in an airtight capsule just like in a sealed bottle of red wine. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done, get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today, 800-544-8927, 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap, it's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest today is Charlotte Isabey. And Charlotte, of course, has been studying what's going on in the world for a long period of time. And, of course, we are indebted to her for posting on a new internet site called AmericanDeception. Is that .com or .org?
.com, yes.
.com. And you can go up there. Now, we're talking about several thousand pages. But this information is vitally important. And you need to get it, just put it onto a disc someplace. They cannot allow the American people to know this most carefully kept secret. The reason that capitalists and communists can work together is because they want exactly the same thing, because they're energized by exactly the same spiritual force. At the top, the average communist doesn't understand communism. He doesn't understand it's been financed from the West since its very inception, because communism doesn't work. It never will work. It's against the very nature of mankind. And, of course, they give their lives to a false promise. But behind this whole movement and the indoctrination of our children in school and in colleges, and even many of the professors at our universities, like here where I am, we have Angela Davis and Bettina Apthaker, both former members of the Central Committee of the Communist Party, teaching our students up here at the university. And these students come out dedicated Marxists without understanding, of course, that Marxism had its inception with people of great wealth, not to redistribute their wealth, but to redistribute the wealth of the middle class. So pick up the story there.
Well, it's so sad. I mean, you see all over the country, I'm sure, groups of bureaucrats, planners, who come out of our state capitals and go in, and whether it's sustainable development or whether it's education, basically they are the best word to describe them, the least offensive, is they are full-fledged socialists. And many of them, I believe, are communists because the way they behave and their actions prove that they have absolutely no morals. The end justifies the means. They will destroy anyone in our communities who speaks out against them. They will take your property and look you straight in the face and say, yes, I'm going to do that because I want to. And especially with people who have lost the property, we're having problems in Maine with oceanfront property being taken from perfectly wonderful citizens through ultra taxation over and over and over again. One friend of mine who lost a hunk of property already, which never should have happened, I said, how did it happen? Oh, well, they just keep increasing her property tax. She's $85,000 a year. And the individual involved at the town level, a planner, a manager, said, we'll do it because we want to do it. We don't have to have any reason. So this is pure communism.
But, of course, the thing is, your friend wasn't involved in the political process or fighting them. What most people do is they just roll over. Oh, maybe if I don't say anything, they'll leave me alone, never understanding that no one will be left alone. And these people are doing exactly what the elite want. They're centralizing all power with Washington, D.C. America was built upon the concept of the sanctity of private property and limiting the power of government, because our founding fathers realized that liberty and limited government were synonymous. And what do the socialists want? They want to centralize all power with Washington. And, of course, they're going to do the bidding of their masters. And then, of course, when suddenly they come for them, they're going to be amazed. How did this ever happen? That's what happened to Solzhenitsyn. He was a dedicated socialist until they came for him. So pick up the story there, Charlotte.
Well, they're coming for a lot of us now. And there are incidents that do get public exposure because usually the person involved may be a very wealthy, a multimillionaire, or one thing or the other, and there's a little bit of publicity. But there are poor people out there who are losing their homes, who are being taken by the corrupt judiciary system, etc. The government is just sort of going awry. I mean, it doesn't seem to represent the people. It's not constitutional anymore. And if you look closely, and I've become involved with trying to help individuals in our own state who've had their houses taken from them for no reason whatsoever, and I've gone to committee meetings, judiciary committee meetings, where the judge who ruled in one particular instance that this woman had no rights to her own property, even though she had title. But if you look at the people who vote on the committees and the lawyers that are coming in, and you check where their alliances are and their allegiances, you will find the majority of them are Masons.
And, of course, the Masons are simply another branch of this move towards the New World Order, the New World Religion. And, of course, it's because they worship a different god. The god of Masonry is not the god of the Bible. In fact, every Mason, if you go to a Masonic funeral, they will tell you that they look forward to standing before the Great White Throne of Judgment. Do you know what the Great White Throne of Judgment is? Look in the book of Revelation. That's the judgment of the damned. Every Mason will stand before the Great White Throne of Judgment. Christians don't go there. There's no way you can be a Christian and a Mason, because you worship a different god, and you're going to a different place for judgment. But the average nation has never been told. We'll be right back here at Radio Liberty.
four-tape set on the JFK assassination. It includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination, a two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of the American president, and then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out, and if you listen to this four-tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes.
Sophisticated investors are buying gold and silver today because the dollar has lost almost 50% of its value in relationship to the euro, and the price of gold and silver has increased almost 40%. If you're interested in learning more about precious metal investing, why don't you call Bo at 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177, or visit him at Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop in downtown Santa Cruz at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building, which is located between Trader Joe's and the Signature Twin Movie Theater. Bo's telephone number is 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. And he's located at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building. And if you mention you heard about Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop on Radio Liberty, why, you'll get a 15% discount on some non-investment items.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course with us is Charlotte Isabey, and she has done one of the most significant things I've seen in a long time. She has made a special web page, and there you can read this incredible report, 1952, the Cox Committee Report, 1953, 1954, the Reach Committee Report, and of course I had the opportunity of interviewing Mr. Norman Dodd, who was Director of Research for the Reach Committee before he died, and we have an interview with him, which you think is very important. It's in our Secret Government four-tape set. Or you can get the book, Foundations of Power and Influence, and that taped interview, we call it the Foundation Special. But here, of course, the book is great because it's 400 pages, but here you've got the whole committee report. You need to get it down, you need to get it on some disc, so that no matter what happens, this information will be disseminated across the country, because they did everything they could to suppress this. Now, if you read Professor Quigley's book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, and remember, Professor Quigley was Bill Clinton's mentor, a liberal college professor who taught at Harvard and Princeton before he went to Georgetown, but he wrote about these secret societies and these secret organizations, and he talked about the book, The Foundations, Their Power and Influence, and he talked about the Reese Committee and the Cox Committee, and he understood who it was who was really funding this whole communist movement, and understood that they could not allow that information to get out. That if people, if the liberals understood that they were being exploited by the very people they hated, why, they wouldn't be liberals anymore. They might even join the rest of us and try to preserve our way of life. But you see, Professor Quigley looked upon people like you and me and most of our listeners as the petty bourgeois who supported Barry Goldwater. That was his term he used over and over again. The petty bourgeois who supported Barry Goldwater. We're the petty bourgeois. What's our crime? We want to be free. We don't want to be controlled by the ruling elite. And Professor Quigley was part of that ruling elite. And of course, he helped Bill Clinton join that very exclusive club. So, Charlotte, how are we going to get this information out, which is so significant? People must get it. They must read it. They must store it. They must understand this most careful of all secrets, that there really are forces working behind the scenes that control everything.
Well, I think the best way to get it out is for people to listen to you. But the other way, I believe you made a very good suggestion. I think people should download these reports and get them on disk, because you never know with the internet. We may what may happen. I personally feel it's probably going to stay up there for a while, but I hope people will take advantage of the fact that the hearings are there, especially individuals who, you know, may be elderly and want to have something very interesting to do at the end of their lives, sitting and reading these hearings. I just don't dare go near my computer for fear I'm going to get bogged down in quotes. It's so unbelievable. Every page I go to, I see stuff that I just, hey, listen to this, Dan. Did you hear that clock striking?
Yeah, that was your grandfather's skull and bones clock?
Yeah, that's the grandfather clock, because when you called me, I was in the library, and I picked up that phone, and that's the grandfather clock. You heard it earlier. It's
now, for our listeners, that's the grandfather clock that came from the skull and bones, because Charlotte's father and grandfather were members of this secret society.
Well, the clock has been part of the interview tonight, because I forgot to put the phone back on the receiver, whatever, on the cradle. But I think that, as I haven't read, who could have read all of these, 1,800 pages of Reese and 900 of Cox, I think. And then this morning, I'm really upset with myself. I spilled all my coffee all over my little, little thing I type on with my computer, whatever you call it, the little keyboard. So I've had to take my computer away for the long weekend. It's being repaired, and I can't get into the committee. I was planning on spending the weekend just having a wonderful time reading these committee reports.
Well, I think it's so important that our listeners get this information and then help us disseminate it. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And I mean, why would the Henry Ford and Andrew Carnegie and the Rockefellers set up these foundations that are helping communism? Because they're all energized by the same dark spiritual force. And once you understand that, it all makes sense. I mean, it explains why Henry Ford backed the communists and actually built the Ford Motor Plant at Gorky in Russia, where the slaves were forced to labor for their masters, their communist masters. And then because the Nazis were anti-communist, why then, of course, old Henry Ford could justify backing the Nazis.
Right.
And, of course, after that, they made him a 33rd degree Mason. He really got around. But he was deeply involved in the occult. This is how you understand what's going on. Otherwise, none of this makes sense. Why would anybody back the communists on one side and then back the anti-communists? Because it's all a game. But trouble is, an awful lot of good people die in these foolish little games.
Oh, yes. How many have we got now? 2,100, I guess, is the total now in Iraq.
Right.
But, you know, Dr. Stan, I wonder if you know, I really would like to get the lowdown on how these committee hearings, the reports, the transcript, which evidently goes to every single library in the United States, that's the congressional reports, they do that. How were they removed from the libraries? Do you know anything about that?
No, I don't. I suppose that they just sent their agents in. I know there was one in Arizona. There was one in Los Angeles told me about that, Los Angeles Public Library still had them. But, you know, there's been a conscious effort, to destroy so much of the evidence of what's going on. Not that the government doesn't classify and keep secret like they have with the story of Pearl Harbor. The Pearl Harbor papers are still classified, going back to 1941, because we don't want Hirohito or Tojo to find out what we knew at that time. Come on now. It's to conceal it from the American people, and that's why Robert Goldsboro told me personally he was offered a great deal of money for those O's reports many years ago.
Yes, actually, I was quite fortunate. I got them for about 20% of 30% of what Bob was offered.
And that, of course, was,
and that was 20 years
that
ago.
That was 20 or 30 years ago, right?
So, really, I'm very, very happy to have them. I put a hunk of money out because we're not wealthy, but I just felt it had to happen. I was afraid that it would go into the hands of someone who would not have, as I have a son who was perfectly, really wanted to do this. He's so angry about what young people's future is due to this.
They don't have any future.
No, they have none. And he just feels strongly that the evidence, the treason that, which is exactly what it was, that has taken place at every level of our government, and has to be exposed. And so Sam was the one that scanned it in.
Well, God, you're very, very fortunate to have somebody, a son, that feels that deeply about what's going on. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. If you have a question or comment, give us a call. Or you can talk to Charlotte, who has a great wealth of knowledge about all of these things we're talking about. So, you know, as you read these committee hearings, what is your impression?
My impression?
Right.
Well, first of all, it's nice and big for your eyesight. So you can't say you can't read it. You can't get tired of reading it. It goes on and on. You have to be very careful not to scroll too fast, because you're going to see names like Hiss and all the important names, Dewey and Counts, and on and on and on, and McCarthy, and everybody you can possibly think of, and then you go flying by, and you want to mark it down the page, and you've all, then you've lost the page. How do I take this? I think it's the most shocking, and you know, for me, I've seen a lot in my life. I've lived all over the world. I've known South Vietnamese, North Vietnamese. I met some people coming out of communist China and North Vietnam when I returned from the Korean War out there, and they told me about their grandfather was the head of the town, had his head cut off, and they marched him around the town as a warning to other people. I've heard a lot. I've lived everywhere, but I'll tell you one thing. I have never, and I put together the 700-page documentation for the deliberate dumbing down of America, so I've seen a lot of documents. I have never seen a document like the Reese Committee hearings and the Cox Committee hearings. I have never, because, and it's scary, because even though you know that somewhere they existed, and there have been marvelous writing, you've seen interviews, I've met Norman Dodd, I know marvelous Griffin, I know you, Stan, I know Goldsboro, I know these great Americans. Still, when you look at this testimony, nothing takes the place of looking at the testimony. And that's my answer. I have never in my life been as shocked as an American as when I started looking at the full impact of these hearings. And no wonder they did not want them to be made public. No wonder the Republicans, the White House, the Democrats, etc., shut down those hearings.
And, of course, in the foreword to the book, Foundations, Their Power and Influence, which was written by the counsel for the committee that did the investigation, a man named Rennie Wormser, but the foreword is written by Congressman B. Carol Reese, who said the most important question we had to answer is what part the great tax-exempt foundations were playing in pushing a Marxist philosophy and trying to destroy the love which every American should have for his way of life. And that's what it was all about. Here they were pushing Marxism. Why would people of great wealth push Marxism? Why would they want to destroy the love of America that every American should have? Why, very simply, because they hate America. They want a dictatorship, a one-world dictatorship under their control, and it goes from generation to generation in many of these same families, because they're all energized by the same spiritual forces. And still our ancient foe does seek to work his woe, his craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate on earth is not his equal. And that's true.
Well, I think that I doubt that there's anybody in your audience there, unless they're new tonight, hopefully, that'd be nice, who is unaware of the fact that Rao and Gaither, the president of the Ford Foundation, told Mr. Dodd prior to the commencement of the hearings, told Mr. Dodd, he said, Mr. Dodd, we invited you to come here because we thought that perhaps off the record you would be kind enough to tell us why the Congress is interested in the operations of foundations such as ours. And Gaither answered his own rhetorical question with a startling admission, and this is a direct quote. Mr. Dodd, all of us here at the policymaking level of the foundation have at one time or another served in the OSS, the Office of Strategic Services, the forerunner of the CIA, or the European Economic Administration, operating under directives from the White House. We operate under those same directives. The substance of the directives under which we operate is that we shall use our grant-making power to so alter life in the United States that we can be comfortably merged with the Soviet Union. And that's an incredible quote. And then, stunned, Dodd finally replied, why don't you tell the American people what you just told me? And you could save the taxpayers thousands of dollars set aside for this investigation. And Gaither responded, Mr. Dodd, we wouldn't think of doing that.
And of course, the one thing that they cannot let the American people understand is what the money from the Gray Foundation is really used for. And it's being used to destroy America, to destroy the love of our children for our country, to indoctrinate them in socialism. And, of course, gradually, little by little, to get us to accept the fact that the federal government can do everything, and, of course, they've used their power to get their people on the Supreme Court, to change our laws, to find all sorts of justification for immorality, because, of course, they really want to move us from a Christian to a godless, and then now, as we are today, a pagan society. That's what it's about. And when you understand that this did not happen by accident, but part of a plan of very wicked people, and this goes back many hundreds of years, but we can document it going back to the early years of the 20th century, and that's what this committee report is all about. They had infiltrated our universities at that time, and were using our universities, both private and public, to indoctrinate our youth in ideas. That's why everybody believes we're a democracy. We're not a democracy, we're a republic. The average individual doesn't know the difference between them. The average individual really believes there's a wall of separation between church and state, and it doesn't matter how ridiculous something is, if you say it often enough, everyone, or almost everyone, will believe.
Well, I was shocked when, I think it was the nominee for the Supreme Court, or the one that went to the UN. One of them referred to our country as a democratic republic. And I think it was for the Supreme Court. I thought, oh my goodness me, here we've got a nominee for the Supreme Court referring to our form of government as a democratic republic. You know, really. But anyway, going back to the change in the foundation's role in changing education, the Carnegie Corporation has been more instrumental than any others. Although Rockefeller is important, and now we have Pew and Ford and all the others, but Carnegie was consistently, all the way through the years, deeply involved in internationalizing the American education system for world government, period. And there is one, and instituting the school-to-work agenda, which is the Soviet polytech system, where you have a quota system. The government and industry gets together and decide how many doctors, lawyers, etc. You have no choice for children, no upward mobility, and that's going in right this moment across the board, across the country, just like in Cuba. But the most important, you asked me how I reacted to the Reese Committee hearings. I have to say there's only one other document that I have in my possession. It is an original of the Carnegie Corporation's Conclusions and Recommendations for the Social Studies, 1934, which was in this collection that my friend's father had. And in that little book, it states that the Carnegie Corporation had commissioned the American Historical Association to do a report on the social studies. And they did. And this is a published report by the AHA for Carnegie Corporation. And it says right in there, we will use the schools to change America from a free, this is a direct quote, free individualistic economy to a planned socialist collectivist economy in the new order. Now, that is just one quote from this dynamite little book. It was one of the probably 10 or 12 volumes for the whole report, but I got the most important one. And right there, it tells you in 1934 exactly what the tax-exempt Carnegie Corporation was looking for.
And it's all about doing away with the individual and take us into collectivism where all freedom will simply be a remembrance of things past.
Right.
If we're either individuals under God or we are, of course, a part of the collective under the totalitarian state. Or, as Winston was told by O'Brien in 1984, like a boot stamping on a human face forever. Charlotte Isabey, thank you so very much for being with us, and have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
You too, Dr. Stan, and happy Thanksgiving to all your listeners.
Bye-bye. God bless.
Bye-bye.
The Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and a few people have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
When was the last time you used pure soap? I mean real, hard-to-find, all-natural pure soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorants, or antibacterials. Probably never, right? Hey, folks, Michael Trudeau here, and I want to tell you about my friend Marty. He's the owner and founder of the Calben Soap Company. For the past 55 years, the Calben Soap Company's been making triple-concentrated pure soaps exclusively for healthcare professionals and hospitals. Now, for the first time, Calben Pure Soap is available factory-direct to you and your family. Calben Pure Soap is made from all natural ingredients. It's earth-friendly and it's safe. Call the Calben Soap Company today toll-free at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Visit them on the web at calbenpuresoap.com or call for information at 1-800-340-7091. That web address again is calbenpuresoap.com. Try Pure Soap once, and I guarantee you'll never use anything else.
You know, when I was growing up, my parents weren't worried about our education. We were taught the basics of math and English, science and history, the joy of art and music, and the need for sports. And our generation turned out leaders in every field. But as a parent today, I am concerned with my child's education. That's why I chose VHM Christian School. I know that at VHM, my children are getting a quality education with a biblical foundation. I'm not worried whether they'll be prepared. I know they are. VHM gives my children the tools to succeed and instills moral values. There are so many issues for me to be concerned about. I'm glad my children's education is not one of them. Won't you call VHM today? Your child is worth it. Call 475-4762. That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. If you'd like to, of course, get the book, Foundations, Their Power and Influence, which I've always felt was one of the five most important books in my library, right along with Professor Quigley's book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, and certainly the book, Fire in the Minds of Men, and Constance Cumby's The Secret Dangers of the Rainbow, The Secret Dangers of the Rainbow, and, of course, my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. All of these will point you towards a real understanding of the spiritual forces that energize communism and these people of great wealth who are pushing towards this one-world government. Well, we do carry the book Foundations, Their Power and Influence. We carry Tragedy and Hope. We carry Fire in the Minds of Men. We carry The Secret Dangers of the Rainbow. And, of course, my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. To help you better understand what's going on, we put together some of my newsletters into pamphlets, and we have them, three of them. They're called The Occult Hierarchy, Part 1, 2, and 3. All three of them for $9.95, inexpensive, but a great deal of very important information. We have some great new four-tape sets. We have one on the supernatural. I hear a lot about the supernatural now, oh, the medium and all of these other programs, but the trouble is, there really is a supernatural, and you need to know about it because many of the most powerful and wealthy people in the world have tapped into that. And then we have a new four-tape set on the oil deception. And as your energy bill goes up, your heating oil, your natural gas, your electricity, the price of diesel oil is going to keep going up. Oh, there'll be ups and downs, don't you worry, but they're going to progressively go up. Because there's a plan to impoverish the American people, you need to understand how it all came about. And that, of course, would be my new four-tape set, The Oil Deception. Now, we have two great news letters, Peak Oil 1, Peak Oil 2. They are both posted on the Internet site, but if you order the four-tape set and you ask for those letters, we'll send them along with them free of charge, or we'll send one of them to you free of charge if you haven't been in touch with us previously. And we want you to have the information. Peak Oil, too, I think, will give you tremendous insight into the background of this scam that is designed to impoverish the American people. And if you don't believe there's a plan to impoverish the American people, you need to read point 10A of the Earth Charter, which is the Mein Kampf, the master plan for the New World Order and the New World Spirituality, written by three of the most powerful men in the world, Mikhail Gorbachev, Marie Strong, and Stephen Rockefeller. You can get it down off the web, or if you can't get there, we'll be glad to send you a copy of it. And understand, these people have placed the scrolls upon which this wonderful document is made, is written in the Ark of Hope, because this is to be the new Ten Commandments for the world. It's all up on the Internet. Check it out. New Ten Commandments, Gorbachev. Why are all these billionaires working with Mikhail Gorbachev, who should be tried for war crimes, for the part he played in the atrocities that were committed against the Afghan children and people during the Afghan war? Why, of course, she's being honored here. And, of course, she's being, you'll find James Baker III, former Secretary of State on the Gorbachev Foundation, or State of the World Forum, Board of Directors, co-chair there. He took George Shultz's place. Remember George Shultz? Secretary of State George Shultz, he was the one who picked George Bush to be the president. They all work together within the Brotherhood of Darkness. If you haven't read my book, you need to get it. You need to find out what's going on. You need to help us to get the truth out. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Our website, www.radioliberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Remember, we do carry the Berkey products, and if you get them to us, you get a free video or four-tape set we've prepared or produced. And then, of course, please pray for America. Pray for revival. Please pray for Radio Liberty. And so, have a wonderful Thanksgiving. We're not going to be with you tomorrow. We're going to take the day off, but we'll be back Friday. Until then, may the Lord be with you.